Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lacaine. Today we will focus on a breakthrough solution in parenting children with autism. Autism used to be rare, affecting only 1 in 5,000 children a few decades ago. But a recent study from the Center for Disease Control reports that autism now affects as many as 1 out of every 50 children. This dramatic increase in children on the autism spectrum is challenging many families. Unfortunately, the traditional treatments available for autism tend to be expensive and not very effective. However, there is an approach that can have dramatic positive results. Here to talk with us about it is Ron K. Kaufman, author of the new and highly acclaimed book, Autism Breakthrough, the groundbreaking method that has helped families all over the world. Ron is also the director of Global Education and the former CEO of the Autism Treatment Center of America. We're here to have a conversation about what's wrong with the current state of autism treatment and how we can reach our kids with autism in a new way. If you love someone on the autism spectrum, or if you are a parent of a challenging child or a teacher, today's show could be a real game changer for you. I am excited to welcome someone I've come to know and love and enjoy and respect greatly, my friend Ron K. Kaufman. Ron, welcome to All Together Now.
Oh, thanks, Eleanor. Thanks for having me on.
So listen, you have a very personal experience with autism. Tell us your story.
I really do have a personal experience. When I was a little boy, I was diagnosed with a really severe case of autism, actually. When I say severe, I mean I had no language, no communication. I was in every way really encapsulated in my own world. I had a tested IQ of less than 30, and I would spend hours and hours every day doing repetitive behaviors, which are pretty common to children on the autism spectrum. So I would rock back and forth or flap my hands in front of my face for hours and hours. And my parents were told, hey, we're really sorry. This is a really severe case of autism. And one thing you have to understand is autism is a permanent lifelong condition. So that's what my parents were told. And it's really amazing, even to this day for me now, what my parents did in the face of that. I mean, they really turned their backs on these predictions and prognoses, and they developed their own home-based, very much child-centered program, and they worked with me for a little over 3 years. And at the end of that period, I recovered completely with no trace of my autism. You know, I lived a totally, so-called normal life. People didn't know about my past, if they hadn't been told. I ultimately graduated from Brown University with a degree in biomedical ethics, which clearly was, not supposed to be in the cards for me. So for me, although this is an important part of my professional life, it's also extremely personal to me as well.
That is just an amazing and inspiring story. It's just incredible, and I'm so grateful for you sharing the experience that you've had. And you said that your parents kind of bucked the tide and took a very different approach than what was generally done by parents of children with autism at the time. Can you describe, what was so different about what they did that enabled you to have such a remarkable recovery?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's amazing, too, when I think about it, because they had to do two things, right? First, they had to even just believe in me when no one else in the world was believing in me. They had to believe that more was possible for me. But also then, not just that, they then created this program, as you were talking about. They called it the Sunrise Program. They spelled it S-O-N because I was their son. And what they did was they did everything that was being done to help children with autism, they turned it on its head and they did the opposite. So one of the ways I describe it is that in the Sunrise Program, the children show us the way in and then we show them the way out. So that means that, rather than in my parents' case, rather than forcing me to conform to a world that I didn't yet understand and by trying to get me to change my behaviors, they started by joining me in my world first. So what that looked like in practice is, let's say I was rocking back and forth and flapping my hands over and over again. Instead of trying to stop me or redirect me, which is exactly what they were told to do, every time they saw me do this, they would sit down next to me and they would rock and they would flap their hands. And they were told, hey, this is a terrible idea. You're going to make him do it more. But what actually happened in practice was that was the first time I started looking at them, smiling at them, and including them in my play. And this is, you know, now something we've done, as you know, for over 30 years. And we've seen this kind of thing with children and adults from all over the world. And that was just the first step. You know, that was the first thing they did. And then once they joined me long enough so that I was willingly engaging with them and looking at them and connecting with them, then there was a bunch of other things they did to help me start to cross the bridge from my world to theirs.
But that was really the turning point right there. And I find it so amazing that your parents had that insight, you know, and everybody else around them is saying, well, the way to deal with your son is to stop the behavior and, you know, control it and kind of break the behavior. And they were like, no, we're actually going to join him in what he's doing. I mean, that is just a stunning turning on its head what the traditional treatment has been.
It really is. And, you know, when you think about it, Eleanor, I like how you said that, the stunning turning on of its head. On its head of what was traditional. But here's the thing that was cool is it has all these implications, because think about when any of us have someone, whether it's a stranger or someone we know and love, and who's doing something that we don't understand, usually our first knee-jerk response is, okay, I got to get this person to, like, stop doing this and change their behavior. Rarely do we ever start from the position of saying, how do I understand where this person is first without trying to change what they're doing? Autism especially is something that's often treated as a behavioral disorder, where people look at a child with autism and you know, this is what parents are told to do by professionals across the country, and this is what many professionals and educators do with the absolute best of intentions, is they say, okay, how do I stamp out all the unwanted behaviors and promote the behaviors that I want? And so my parents really started from this position of, we're not interested in actually even looking at and trying to change any behaviors. Our question is how do we create a relationship with this child? Because it really seems like autism is this social relational disorder where children have trouble connecting and creating relationships with other people. And they were very, very far ahead of their time in this understanding.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. You know, you've got a new book out, Autism Breakthrough, which I mentioned at the beginning, and I think one of the most important messages in your book, of which there are many, is this very shift in perspective, that autism is not a behavioral disorder. It's a social relational disorder. And when you understand that, you open the door to amazing possibilities.
Oh, yeah, well said. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, a big reason I wrote Autism Breakthrough was because the dominant perspective and the dominant paradigm in autism and autism treatment is not only often very unhelpful and very alienating, actually, to a lot of these kids, not only that, but then all these parents who love their children and who adore their kids, who would do anything for their kids, this is, for many parents, the only option, the only treatment they're exposed to at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I work with a lot of parents who often, before, let's say, they know about the Sunrise Program, they will often spend a lot of their time saying no to their child and stopping their child from doing stuff and holding their wrists down so that the child isn't flapping his or her hands. And for a lot of these parents, it's not like they love doing that. But they think to themselves, okay, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel great to do. But I have to do it. This is what I'm told. This is the only way to help my child. I got to do it.
It's what the experts are saying.
Exactly. Exactly. What am I going to not do that and just, you know, not do what all these experts are telling me that I got to do it? Mm-hmm. So they do that, and it's and then their children oftentimes respond, you know, all these different ways that maybe aren't ideal for the children or the parents. Maybe, for instance, some of these children will withdraw more from that. Some of them, instead of withdrawing more as a way to protect themselves, will become, you know, more aggressive or tantrumy or things like that. Some actually will do what they're told. Some children will do what they're told, and they will change their behavior, but they do it in a very robotic way, like because they're forced into it rather than having any sort of real connection with the person or real understanding of the skill they're being taught. And so parents often feel trapped in this loop of, I have to do it, I have no choice, but then I have to deal with the responses I get from it, and I'm like trapped in something I can't get out. So I wrote Autism Breakthrough to sort of say, hey, there's a way out here. There's a different way to do this.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so striking to me when I look across the spectrum at breakthrough solutions in different fields that universally they all have in common several things. And one of them is that they will do the exact opposite of what traditional approaches are. And sometimes when you do the exact opposite, you get better results of what you want to have happen. So, for example, this kind of traditional approach on children with autism is you'll change the behavior and all the behavioral modification approaches. But what you're saying is every behavior of the child is a symptom, and it's a symptom of the underlying issue of the challenges around social relationships. And when you try to stop the behaviors, you're not addressing the core issue. And in fact, you are seriously disrupting the trust and relationship between you and your child. And what you want is not to battle your child, but you want to bond with your child.
Actually, I wish I had written that sentence you just said in my book.
Feel free to quote it in your speeches.
No, you know, Eleanor, you're absolutely right. And I love the way you're talking about this way of, hey, it's up to us to bond with our child and not do battle. And it's this really well-stated example of how many parents and actually many educators who are incredibly dedicated and loving and want to help these kids are often feeling like, I have to do battle with these kids. This is the only way to help these kids. And what I'm trying to say, and look, we teach this every day at the Autism Treatment Center of America, is we don't have to hurt our kids in order to help them. We don't have to alienate them in order to help them make progress. And actually, by really bonding with our kids, by, for instance, one example, it's not the only way, is joining them and doing what they are most interested in, what they most love, and what, as you correctly say, is a symptom, not a cause. By getting involved in that with our child, we're saying, hey, I just want to be in your world with you. I just want to be close to you. You love twirling pens? Oh, my gosh, I'm a pen freak. I love pens as much, because if you love pens, I love pens because I love you. And it really is amazing to watch what happens with these kids, and not just kids, with adults with autism too. And then once we have that connection, a lot of other things are possible. And just to give you a quick example, once we have a child's willing engagement, we have this other principle that we use in the Sunrise program called the motivation principle. And what that is when we are then doing an activity that really might be challenging for a child, because we're helping a child use language or play a turn with another person or even look in our eyes or do anything like that, we build the game instead of just having an activity, which is, again, what most treatments do. We get the child to do it, and we have them try and repeat the skill over and over again, and then maybe offer a reward like a piece of candy or a cookie. What we really found is, again, doing it that way kind of misses the point and often creates more robotic behavior, even though it sometimes gets the child to listen to us. So what we do is, whenever we're trying to work on a new skill, we find something that the child's already really interested in or motivated by. And that could be something as simple as Teletubbies or being chased, or something as complex as Star Wars and science fiction themes and spaceships. And we build all the activities around whatever that individual child's motivation and interest is, so that when we are challenging that child to really do things that really might be hard for that child at first, it's in the context of something the child already loves and is interested in, rather than something where the child is feeling bludgeoned into it.
And, you know, that makes so much sense. You mentioned about how so much of the time when we're trying to teach children, not just children with autism, but all the children, that we're kind of fighting against a grain, that we're forcing the students to follow our schedule, follow our curriculum, follow what we've laid out. And yet, really, kind of the best way to learn or to have a child learn is to see exactly what you're talking about. See where the child has an interest, a natural curiosity or a passion even, and then to develop games or activities and learning that's centered around the child's interests.
Yes, yes. Actually, I call that in Autism Breakthrough, I call that the motivation mismatch, which is what is normally the case, meaning what the child is actually motivated by and interested in is not matched to what's being taught, the way it's being taught, how it's being taught. And again, no one's doing this to try and make children's lives difficult, right? Everyone's trying to help these children. But the problem is when there's this motivation mismatch, then you're working so hard, you're working against the grain to try and get the simplest things to happen. And so a lot of, you know, there's a lot of side effects to that, and it's much harder for whoever's trying to help the child, and it's really disconnecting for the child. And, you know, a lot of people will say children with autism have robotic behavior. That's part of what autism is. But actually, it's not a symptom of autism. It's a symptom of a combination of the motivation mismatch with then having a child do something they don't want to do over and over again, and then offering them simple rewards like an M&M or a toy. And so then you get more robotic behavior. You get the child to hate doing what they're doing, even though sometimes they'll be willing to do it because they're only doing it for the reward. And you then don't even really teach the real skill because you're not teaching it in any kind of context that makes any kind of sense to the child. They're just doing it to get the reward. And so once you change that motivation mismatch and you start picking things that are already based on things, you're still teaching what you want to teach, but you're doing it in the context of games that are already interesting and fascinating and motivating to the child, then you open all kinds of doors.
Yeah, that's just so wonderful. And the program, the Sunrise program, part of what I love about it is it's based in the home rather than an institution. And so it seems to me a much more humane way to approach it. It's more effective in terms of the results you get, and it costs less than the traditional methods, which often require, you know, either going to a program or in some cases, you know, permanent institutionalization and living in an institution. So the way the Sunrise program does it, you, the parents, create a program based in the home.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Now, that's a really important point that you bring up, because this is the kind of thing that, you know, autism is considered, you know, very, very expensive kind of issue or challenge to treat. For many of these children, millions of dollars will be spent over the course of their life just trying to help their autism. And so it's seen as also a financial crisis in addition to the sort of humanitarian issue of trying to love and help these children, these really awesome children who are capable of so much. And so what you say is key. You know, the Sunrise program, look, it takes place in the home. There's so many advantages to this. Number one is the home is actually the safest, most conducive to growth environment there is. It doesn't mean that schools are bad or you should never have schools, but there is something additional that is possible in the home. The home brings a lot to the table. And then you have the parents running it. It does not mean, by the way, that the parents are doing every bit of the work of it with their child, but it means, in a sense, we say the parents are the CEOs of the program. Parents have a kind of love. I mean, look, you're a mom. You know this better than anyone. Mm-hmm. Parents have a kind of love and dedication and long-haul commitment that really nobody else can match. I mean, they have a day-in, day-out understanding of their child that nobody else, can reach. And so we don't want parents to sort of step aside and let the professionals handle it. We want parents, we say, hey, there is nobody better equipped to change the trajectory of your child's life than you as the parent. And then we come to the financial issue, which you brought up, which is it is drastically cheaper to, if everyone, you know, we're doing the Sunrise program, and I actually don't believe that there's a one-size-fits-all, that everybody should be forced into one program, because now everyone's forced into these behavioral programs. But just for the sake of, you know, a thought experiment, if everyone were doing the Sunrise program, we would be spending dramatically less money. We, being all of us individual families, would be spending so much less, because you're doing it in the home. Instead of also having different people who you're, you know, paying $60 an hour to work with your child, we teach you how to recruit and train a team of volunteers in your area that you can show how to do the Sunrise program. So you're getting help in the most economical way possible. And it's really incredible, because what will happen is, just to give you a quick idea, parents will, you know, it's not free, obviously, right? They'll come to our center first, and they'll take a program called the Sunrise Program Startup. And that program is at the most expensive, and this includes food and lodging. Parents come without their child, they get free food and lodging, and they pay about $2,200. But we gave away $1.7 million last year alone, because we're a nonprofit, we have a lot of financial aid. And so a lot of parents aren't paying that. And they come for a week, and then they go home, and they're able to implement what they've learned, and we can help them over the phone in different ways. So it definitely costs some money, but it costs a fraction of the more conventional way of doing things.
Yeah, it's really almost unbelievable. It's so good, and I just love the way you draw on the parents, and, you know, we know the mothers. Mothers are a force of nature. Move heaven and earth to help their child, and what you talk about in the book, you know, the parents are not in the way. The parents are the way. And the whole program just respects the role of parents, you know, in relationship with their children. And it's just so beautifully stated. And in a very practical way, you know, you're right. We've got this dramatic rise in the number of children on the autism spectrum. States and cities are now having to grapple with this dramatic rise in the cost of care. And if we could just have the Sunrise program be considered as another option in addition to the behavior modification approach, it could save a tremendous amount of money and in many cases have much better results.
Yes. And that's the thing. I'm glad you said it that way, because my dream for the United States and maybe one day the world is not that every single person, regardless of what they want to do, is doing the Sunrise program. My dream is that all parents and all families have a choice in autism treatment and can pick the program that is the best fit for their child, and can do that. Number one, they're given all their options, so they're not finding out later that there were all these options that they had but were never told about, because I find this happens all the time. So they're given all their options, and then ideally they're then given funding for whatever option they choose, so they can pick the one that fits them and their child the best. And if that happened, a lot of parents would pick the Sunrise program, because it really fits family life well. It helps children a lot. And then, yes, it would save both the family and the state an enormous amount of money over time. And, you know, can I just say one other thing? Is there's also this other piece which doesn't – I mean, again, you can appreciate it as a parent, but I think a lot of people making policy have trouble appreciating it, because it's not a hard – can't be quantified, which is this. We want to help our children. We want to help them progress and communicate and have a wonderful, satisfying life, of course. But the other piece is look, for all of us families who have a child with autism now, and who, in whatever way we're trying to help our child, we're still living with our child. And for a lot of families, this is a day-to-day struggle. They're really struggling, whether it's struggling because it's really hard to get their child dressed in the morning, or even on a much deeper level, they're struggling because they don't feel connected to their child, or they fear for their child's future, or they see their child's really different behaviors and they feel really uncomfortable about that. And one of the things that the Sunrise program does, I spend a bunch of time talking about it in Autism Breakthrough too, is that we help the parents and family members and loved ones to really see their children with different eyes. And by different eyes, I mean really see the beauty in their child's world. I don't mean after they progress. I mean before they progress. Really see the beauty of their world. Really be able to cherish all that's different and quirky and fun and unusual about their children. And really be able to have a sense of hope and optimism about their child, but that starts from this position of really embracing their child where they are. So just the reduction in intense day-to-day stress and unhappiness from getting help with that is unquantifiable, but it's the benefits are almost infinite with that.
Yeah, that is incredible. So our listeners know that I have a child, and that's how I found the Sunrise program. I was looking for some kind of program to help her, and she didn't have autism, but she had a lot of other challenging, what I would consider as a parent, very challenging behavior. And so someone referred to us, because I said to her, my friend one day, I said, well, we need a miracle to be able to help my daughter. And she said, that's what you need. You need the Sunrise program. And, you know, they call it the place for miracles. So that's how I found out about it and drove out to Sheffield, Massachusetts, to the Autism Treatment Center of America, and met with some of the staff there. And that is one of the things that I learned right off the bat, is really kind of more than anything, is surround yourself and your child with unconditional love, that know that everybody's doing the best they can, and just be loving and adoring of everybody as you are in this moment, and know that there's a, you know, great potential for the future and different things can change, but you know, it's not like you love them to get them to change. You totally embrace and endure as they are now, the child, and also, you know, yourself as the parent. You don't want to blame yourself. Was it something about the genes, or was it something about how I've been raising them, or something about the medical care I gave? And then you end up with the fights between the husband and the wife about, you know, how to deal with the situation or what caused the situation. And just, like, stop all of that and just create a condition of unconditional love. And that's such a powerful place to begin any kind of treatment or program.
You know, Eleanor, and of course you have such deep firsthand knowledge, but I'm so glad you said that, because I feel like this is the most overlooked area in the autism field. You know, there's lots of people thinking about what can we do to help a child talk or whatever, which is absolutely important. But what kind of gets short shrift in all this is, yes, the attitude and emotional experience of the parents. And I think there's a couple of reasons why that's so important. It's not just this fluffy thing of like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have a great attitude and feel better about your child, although I think that matters enormously, but it's also very practical. You mentioned like partners and, marriages. Someone just posted on my Facebook page yesterday about how they felt that the Sunrise program saved their marriage. That was absolutely not why they came. They came just to help their child to, you know, communicate and speak and do all of that, but it turned out that from their perspective, it really saved their marriage, because they were heading down a road where they were fighting all the time and they were unhappy and angry with each other a lot. And it was, in a lot of ways, there were things that were coming from, that were as a result of what they were doing to deal with their child's autism, that were at cause there.
Okay, so, Ron, hold that thought. We're going to come back in just a minute, but we need to pause now for the break. This is Eleanor LaCane speaking with my guest, Ron Kaufman, discussing Autism Breakthrough. Let's give them something to talk about, babe. A little mystery to figure out. Welcome back to All Together Now. This is Eleanor Lacaine speaking with my guest, Ron Kaufman, discussing his new book, Autism Breakthrough. Ron, just before the break, we were talking about the importance of surrounding yourself and your child and your whole family with unconditional love. So I just want to give you a chance to finish your thought there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks. Look, I'll just be quick, but I just wanted to say that there's a practical piece to that. I don't want people to think it's just something that's sort of a touchy-feely kind of thing, which is, number one, like I was saying, there, you know, lots of couples, including this someone who just wrote me yesterday on Facebook, really feel that doing the Sunrise program is responsible for saving their marriage, because when marriages dissolve, especially around autism, it's often there's a key attitudinal component that's at the core, where people are stressed out and they're angry and they're upset related to what's going on with their child, and it ends up getting into their marriage. And so dealing with your own emotions and attitudes in a way that we really help you to do is crucial. But the other thing I was just going to say about attitude is, and this is another huge thing that never gets talked about, is that in addition to whatever techniques you're doing, let's even say the Sunrise program techniques, joining, etc., what also is hugely, hugely impactful is when you are with your child, whether you're a parent or you're an educator, is your attitude and emotional state. And it's not because your child is psychic. It's because you, when you're frustrated or stressed out or annoyed or scared, there are 100 different nonverbal ways you communicate that without even knowing it. And your child picks up on that. And because children and adults on the autism spectrum have trouble processing sensory stimuli from the environment, they often perceive an agitated person as a threat. And so they will either withdraw more or become more aggressive. Now, the flip side of that is when someone, and we've seen this for 30 years, when someone is really comfortable and relaxed and really delighting in the child, and not at all agitated, then the child reads that as safe. And when they read that as safe and then welcoming, they will climb mountains for you. So I just don't want I don't want to get lost in the discussion that piece, that attitudinal emotional piece, is a key component of all this. It's actually why I save it for the last chapter of Autism Breakthrough, because that's what I want people to leave with at the end.
Yeah, and, you know, that's so critical. I remember when I first had my conversation with the Sunrise program staff, and they were talking about this importance of attitude. I was like, well, yeah, but what do I do with my daughter? How do I help her?
Right,
and they were
right.
Like, it doesn't matter. I could give you a million techniques, and none of them are going to work unless you get this attitude thing done. And
yes.
I thought, oh, my God. And it finally, it was light dawning going, oh, my God, it's how I am. It's who I am when I'm in the presence of my child. Do I look at her as, like, a problem child, you know, difficult, demanding, wounded, you know, all those things that we think about for a challenging child? Or do I see, oh, my God, what an absolute blessed being, a one of a kind? And, you know, the beautiful phrase that your father used for you, you know, that we bless the ground that others curse.
Right, yes. And look, if you're listening to this and you are a parent and you do have times when you're frustrated with your child or unhappy about or around your child, that is certainly nothing to be ashamed of, because as you were sort of alluding to, Eleanor, like, it's not just like, hey, you're supposed to have this perfect attitude that you don't have. It's that we're surrounded by people, especially if you get a diagnosis with autism or any other developmental challenge that your child has, you are instantly fed tons of really depressing, really pessimistic messages. So it's not weird that a parent would really feel distressed around their child. This is what they're fed day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why in the Sunrise program, we're trying to feed you totally different messages and also give you the tools to not succumb to the messages that you are given.
That is so right on, because, you know, it's really our beliefs will shape our attitudes and shape how we are and how we think about our child, how we engage with our child, what we even think who we think our child is or what we think our child is capable of doing. And so many of those beliefs are just, we're fed this whole, I want to call them a pack of lies about the limits to these children that really, let's begin with the belief that the sky's the limit, that our child can do anything, and then kind of work towards that. It may seem ridiculous in the current moment, but, all things are possible in the future. And I was really struck in your book when you talked about parents had been fed such negative assessment and beliefs about their children that they thought, oh, my child cannot talk. My child will never be able to talk. And that you actually have had the experience more than once where a child will go in to the Sunrise program and you'll show the parent, either the parent will be watching the child or watching a video of the child, where the child for the first time ever speaks from being in the program, but the parent literally cannot see what's in front of them, that the parent still believes my child can't speak, and that sometimes you have to play that video 7 or 8 times with the child speaking before the parents can hear the child speak because they didn't believe the child could speak.
Yes. This really has happened. And, when I'm writing about it in Autism Breakthrough, I'm saying, like, hey, look, most parents, a lot of kids say their first words in the Sunrise program, some of them quite quickly. And most of the time, parents freak out in a good way. They jump up and down. They start crying. They start laughing. They hug us. This is like, Christmas in July. And so I then ask the question, since that's the reaction of most parents, how do you explain a parent sitting there and watching their child speak for the first time and having absolutely no reaction? And the answer is that they have no reaction if they didn't actually hear it. And some parents, yes, it has been so beaten into them that this is just not in the cards for your child. It's not that your child doesn't speak, it's that your child is not capable of speech. And so they're so clear on that, because it's been told over and over, that when they watch it happen, and you're correct, we've had times when we've had to play back videos numerous times for them to be able to see and hear the moment when their child says the word. And, of course, the child's not like turning to the camera and speaking, but oftentimes they're speaking to one of our child facilitators. And yes, it's amazing what happens when it's been beaten into someone that their child can't talk. And then what is really cool is once that shifts, then it's amazing. Parents become much more perceptive to things that they weren't even aware of before that their child is already doing. And so that's really wonderful to see.
Yeah, what an amazing story. And we often say seeing is believing, but that's actually backwards. It's more like believing is seeing. It's like
that's right.
What we believe so shapes what we see, including to the point where a parent is watching their own child speak and they cannot hear it because they don't believe the child can speak.
Yes.
And, this is goes way beyond kids with autism. This is, in every era of our life, where are we holding limiting beliefs that prevent us from seeing what's right in front of us, much less what's really possible. But
Eleanor, can I just say really just a quick riff on that, because it's so interesting. We once had this a parent. Now, parents normally they come to that program called the Startup Program without their child, where they learn the techniques. But there is a follow-up program they can do called the Intensive, where they come with their child, and we work with their child one-on-one throughout for that week. It's 1 week program, and then separately as well, we're working with the parents one-on-one in a customized program. Now, I just tell you this because here's this amazing thing happened. It was so funny where we have different meetings with the parents and talk about progress for the week and each day and what the child's doing. And we had a child facilitator say, oh, yeah, he said this word to me and he said that word to me. And the father actually stopped the person and said, hold on, I'm sorry, you must be mistaken. My child can't speak, right? And the child facilitator sort of put her hand to her mouth and said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. And so what's so great is, our child facilitator didn't, in a sense, quote, know that the child, in quotes, couldn't speak. And that's a really great approach. It's not that I would ever try and promise a parent something that hasn't happened yet, because we don't know. But what we want to do is start from this position of, let's not decide in advance what a child can't do. And if we do that, we at least throw all the doors wide open for whatever that particular boy or girl can do.
Right, absolutely. Let's have open doors, not closed doors. And
yeah.
The story of what your parents did with you spread, first through your father's book and then through the movie that was made about it and documentary. And so as word spread, lots of families have come to your parents for help. And your parents founded this Autism Treatment Center of America in Sheffield, Mass. In 1983. And since that time, have worked with over 8,000 families with children on the autism spectrum. So can you say, like, have you kept a record of this? What percentage of children whose parents are trained in the Sunrise program experience, partial or full recovery?
Yeah, that is a really good question, and you are correct. We've worked with many, many families over the years. We've worked with families from over 80 different countries, actually. So it's really, and we've worked with families who have 2-year-old children and 32-year-old, sons or daughters. We've worked with parents who have children who have not yet spoken, and with children who speak in full sentences because they have Asperger's syndrome, but still have trouble relating to people. So we've seen the whole range. And, here's the thing. I really wish there were some really clear way to keep those stats. Because actually, a lot of autism programs get asked this kind of question, which is a valid question. But there really is no program that can say, over the 10 years, 20 years that we've existed, this is the exact stats. The way you really are able to do, because look, we have a lot of parents who've worked with their kids in the Sunrise program, whose kids have recovered just like me and are, living their lives. We also have a lot of families that we've worked with whose kids have not recovered, but have made progress that far outstrips their original prognosis. I never try and set it up in advance of, hey, this is how far your child's going to go. Your child's going to recover. Your child's going to be just like me. I really want to help families. That's why I wrote Autism Breakthrough, to help families now, to help their children now, to move forward from wherever their children are. And so it's tricky. It creates a tricky thing. One thing that I'm really excited about, I wish it had been a focus of universities earlier, but I'm really excited about, is at the beginning of this year, the two universities, Lancaster University in the United Kingdom and Northwestern University outside of Chicago, they got together and collaborated and did a study on the Sunrise program. And they had two groups of kids with autism. One group was getting Sunrise program treatment, and the other group was the control group, was not getting the Sunrise program. And they tracked it. We weren't doing any of the measurements or anything. They were tracking all of this stuff, and the results that they got were that the children who were getting the Sunrise program had all of these improvements in all of these metrics of social engagement, social communication, et cetera. And that was, it was really exciting because the control group did not have any of those improvements. And so it was a real breakthrough because it was, this is a peer-reviewed scientific study. I would like to have more of that. I do think that's really helpful and important. But I also just want to add one last piece to this, which is that with all of that and with how important that is, and your question, of course, is very important, I also want to say that so-called anecdotal evidence, I hear this a lot, like, oh, that's just anecdotal evidence. The other sort of synonym I have for anecdotal evidence is reality, like the truth. And what I mean by that is, we track a lot of these parents and how their children respond to the Sunrise program, even if it's not encapsulated in a study, is, to me anyway, and to many other parents, really valid, because this is what real families experienced with real children. And actually, families can go, anyone listening to the show, they can go to, there's two websites they can go to. They can go to autismtreatment.org, which is the Autism Treatment Center of America's website, and there's lots of incredibly helpful videos and different things to help you there. But also, if they go to the title of the book, autismbreakthrough.com, that's my website, and I have something there, this is why I brought it up, called Recovery Videos, and it's 10 videos of before and after, of children who had autism, and they're really in their own world, and then you hear the parents' story, and then it shows the kids after. Sometimes there's direct interviews with the kids, and it's really amazing to see what these kids are capable of. I guess what I focus on is this idea of our kids are capable of so much more, so let's give them that chance. But that doesn't mean we can start deciding now and making, you know, guesses now about what some child is going to look like, you know, 3 years from now.
Right, exactly. And I am delighted to hear that there's now some scientific peer-reviewed research showing the effectiveness of the Sunrise Program principles. So glad to get that. And, you know, the anecdotal evidence is families like ours. And the way I looked at it, I mean, I knew when I was looking at the Sunrise Program, there was no guarantee it was going to help us at all.
Sure.
But what I thought was, well, if this approach has even worked for one child, that means it's possible. And if it's possible for one child, I'm going to see if it could be possible for my child.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you bring that up, because what often happens, too, is, you know, I guess that's a big thing that I agree with you. I'm trying to show families that, like, hey, there's lots, if one person can do it, lots of other people can do it. But what's great is it's that it isn't just one person. Like, I've had people come up to me and say two things, actually. They either say, if they don't know that I'm Ron Kaufman, they'll say something like, oh, you know, Ron Kaufman still has autism, or he's in an institution, or he can't really relate to people. Right? I really had this happen, actually.
I love that.
And then when they meet me and they really see that, you know, hey, like, I'm just a regular guy, totally recovered, then they'll go the other way and they'll say, well, you know, okay, well, then you must never really have had autism in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say two things about that. Like, I mean, the first thing that I think is most important is, I mean, aside from the fact that this is not true, I was diagnosed by multiple experts, but putting that aside for a second, number one is, I, you know, it's not just about me. I was the first, but I wasn't the last. And the second thing I would bring up, which I think is a bigger concern for me, is that that kind of approach then leads us to go to all the kids who've recovered, and there's quite a lot of them, and say, oh, if they recovered, all those kids that recovered, they must all have never had autism. And this is crazy. This is crazy. It's kind of, number one, it's unscientific. Two, it's not really true. Mm-hmm. And three, it's indicative of this paradigm we have of autism that it, by definition, it has to be a permanent lifelong condition. And, you know, I have a good friend that had, we've been friends for 20 years, and she got cancer in her 20s. It was a big deal at the time, and went through, you know, chemotherapy and radiation, whatever, and she hasn't had cancer for almost 15 years. And nobody ever goes up to her and says, well, wait a minute. You're saying you don't have cancer now? Well, then you must never have had cancer in the first place. So we're willing to accept that people can recover from one of the most deadly illnesses of our time, but we take a four-year-old with autism and we write that child off and say, it's done, it's over, it's a life sentence.
Yeah, good response. Listen, we have just a few minutes left and there's so much more I want to talk about with you, but let's look at this now in the bigger picture. We know the Sunrise Program can be great for individual families. I'm wondering, given the growing number of children diagnosed on the autism spectrum, what do you think we can do as a nation about this?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's several things. I mean, one is a question of we really need to have a paradigm shift about autism and how it works, meaning a shift about what these kids are capable of, about not writing these kids off in advance, and not just kids, but adults. We've had people in their 30s who go from almost no language to speaking in sentences. So the brain is plastic at all stages of life. So one is a paradigm shift there. Another is a paradigm shift about how to help these kids, that rather than trying to, you know, force behavior change, really build a relationship and get in their world. And third, and this one I think is possible, I'm starting to see it happen a little bit, is this idea of let's give funding for whatever that's portable, that goes with parents. It could be state-by-state funding that goes with what the program is that's the best fit for your child. So if that is, if you're a parent, you really want to do a behavior-based program and you feel like that's helping your child, great. You should be able to do that. I support you in that. But also, if you're a parent who wants to do a program like the Sunrise program that's relationship-based and you find that this is a wonderful fit for your child and for your family, you should also get support and funding for that. And I think if we could get that, where we give the parents a choice and the children a chance, I think we'll be on the right track.
Excellent. Let's work and write that legislation and get it passed.
Yeah, I would love that.
I love that. Give the parents a choice and the children a chance. That's our motto.
Yes. Hear, hear.
You know, I'm wondering with this Sunrise program, both the families that you've worked with there and how awesome is it that you've come through what you have and are now helping other kids who are on the autism spectrum. But of the kids and families that you've worked with and the people you've talked to as you go around the world speaking about autism, what do you think, does the Sunrise program appeal more to liberals or conservatives, or does it really transcend politics?
Yes. Oh, you know, I'm so glad you asked that. Here's the thing that I've seen, and I know we're on the Progressive Network, but I do want to say it's really amazing when I see what kind of families respond to the Sunrise program. Certainly, there are many families and parents who would consider themselves on the left, who it really appeals to because it's very child-centered and it's very, it has a strong component of love through it, and it sort of bucks the establishment and it's not regimented the way behavioral programs are. So there's a lot there. On the other hand, I got to tell you, the reaction I get when I do lectures and teach the Sunrise program, for instance, in the South or to other groups of people that would consider themselves much more conservative, is phenomenal, and actually sometimes bigger than the reaction even that I get from progressives, which is it really speaks to a lot of very family-oriented parents, because it's a very family-oriented program. This whole idea that your child is a gift for someone who's really religious and wants to see their child as a gift from God, we give them permission for that. We help them to do that. And for really doing a whole program that's really based on the parent's choice and that's based on parental love and connection with their child, it really speaks to a lot of people that would call themselves conservative. So I see it as a very cross-political, cross-spectrum type of program.
Yeah, we can all come together around helping our kids.
Around helping our kids, and also we can all come together around parents actually having the choice.
Right, exactly. I love it. We need to wrap up, but before we do, just how can listeners get in touch with the Autism Treatment Center of America?
Okay, so in addition, obviously, to them buying Autism Breakthrough, which really gives a lot of step-by-step things to do. You can buy that book and really start doing something from it right away. They can also contact the Autism Treatment Center of America directly. So they can either call 413-229-2100. And if they call 413-229-2100, they can set up a call with the Sunrise Program Advisor who can help them with all of this, help them with financial aid, help them with program attendance. And then they can go, or they can go to autismtreatment.org. And autismtreatment.org is our website. It's a really helpful website. Even if you're not sure if you're ever going to come to our center, go ahead and go to that website. There's a lot of free resources on that website.
Yes, and definitely get that book, Autism Breakthrough. I mean, if you couldn't get to the program, wherever in the world you are, you could read that
yes.
book and know how to help your child.
Absolutely.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's all the time we have. Ron Kaufman, thank you so much for being with us today and for all your wonderful work.
Hey, thank you for having me. What a wonderful discussion. It was really fun. Thank you.
In case you've missed any of these programs, they're available in the archives. If you want to learn more about Breakthrough Solutions, go to thebreakthroughway.com. If you like this program, please go to iTunes and like it there. Our theme song is Let's Give 'Em Something to Talk About, sung by Bonnie Raitt. Next week, my co-host Charlene Spretnik will be here with her guest. I'll be back 2 weeks from today. Thanks for joining us. This is Eleanor LaCane with All Together Now. Now that we know.